Welcome to Hollywood and Horsepower, the show about the story behind the story. Today we are going to do a little bit different format. We've done this before. We have a very special guest. Guy that's like family to me. Been a regular on the show. Anthony Big Ace DeBeale. There's nobody that I enjoy talking to more than you. And I just can't thank you enough for joining us today. For
my
those
pleasure,
that
Mark.
Don't know, he's a legend in horse racing, handicapper, broadcaster, has hosted more shows than I could list in the time of my show. And, you know, we're just honored to have you with us today.
Yeah, I'm a legend in my own mind. Thank you for...
mine, too.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Not just yours, mine, too.
It's funny, we always manage to get one of these in right around Kentucky Derby time. Kentucky Derby
exactly.
Is 4 weeks away. I'm changing tack this year. I'll be at Saratoga National Golf Club up in Saratoga Springs.
Very cool.
Yeah, they have a huge party every year. And my gal, Devin Mann's up there. Devin helps run the show. Devin's always wanted me up there, but I had prior engagements. Well, I've been thinking about this. I've had prior engagements, if you take out the COVID year, for the last 15 years. So finally able to get up there. Looking forward to it. As you know, Saratoga is it's probably the biggest horse town outside of the state of Kentucky. They love their horse racing in Saratoga Springs, and
absolutely.
I'm looking forward to spending Kentucky Derby 152 up there in at Saratoga National Golf Club.
Is that right in town? Is it close to where Saratoga track is?
It's less than 3 miles from the track. It's on Union Avenue. I know Union Avenue changes names. Like when I head north up the Northway, you get off exit 14, and then you hang a right to go to Saratoga. All you do is hang a left to go to Saratoga National, and it's about a mile down on the right hand side. So it's literally it's less than 3 miles. I would say it's probably 2.5 miles.
So I'm surprised they don't do anything at the track for Kentucky Derby. It's just kind of quiet, huh?
Saratoga doesn't open. The harness track, which is no affiliation, the harness track is open for simulcasting year-round, and they have people there for Derby. But my guess is, and not to brag too much, but I would imagine the 1,500 or 2,000 is going to go up, because especially around Derby time, I have a pretty good seminar following. We'll probably have more people, I shouldn't say probably, we'll have more people at Saratoga National than they'll have at Saratoga Harness for Kentucky Derby Day.
Are you doing 2 days? You doing Oaks and Derby?
No, they just have a giant Derby party every year. You know, it's funny, it's Kentucky Oaks Day, at some of the casinos I've worked at, Oaks Day is a bigger deal because you have the more hardcore horse player there. These parties... And it's funny because I have a prior relationship with Saratoga National Golf Club. In 2020, during COVID, they had these Day at the Races. And if you're not familiar with the restaurant, which is always changing names and cuisine, undergoing a menu change, I believe, as we speak, with a launch coming this week, there's a gigantic ballroom upstairs. I've helped rerun, which is an adoption program for retired racehorses in New York. Lisa Malloy does a great job. I've helped rerun their event there before COVID. So they have a giant ballroom upstairs. They have 3 dining rooms, a great bar area. It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. It's probably the most beautiful venue in Saratoga Springs. I think I was there like 10 dates during COVID or 8 dates during COVID. And, you know, everybody was still kind of afraid to come out. We sold out every day. And I just so happened to have, not so coincidentally, I don't think, I was kind of locked in during that meet. If you remember, we had plenty of winners in 2020 at Saratoga. They were very, very, the fans, the folks that run the place were very, very happy with the turnout and the results. Bottom line, we all made money, whether it be as a venue or just being a horse player and gambling. So So they put on a great job. They do a great job. The food is second to none in the area. They make one of my favorite appetizers of all time. They make a tempura roll of, they take filet mignon and roll it around a shrimp and lobster and crab meat.
Oh,
and then
God.
They fry it and they treat it like a sushi roll. Yeah, it's just, it's unbelievable. So I'm looking forward to being there Kentucky Derby Day. There'll be more details. I'll let you know the details. You can let your listeners know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the details. The tickets
that's
will go on sale soon.
That's not kind of party that I wouldn't mind showing up at.
Come on up. Come on up.
Upstate New York. I got to tell you, you know me. I mean, I'm probably, in all transparency, I'm probably more of a Del Mar guy. It's like you're either East Coast or a West Coast guy. I kind of started out going Santa Anita, and that's, I love Del Mar. I love Santa Anita. But I have to tell you, unlike most people who are one or the other, I have always loved Saratoga. It's just such, you know what's cool about Saratoga? And Del Mar has a little bit of this, but not like Saratoga. I love the stories. I love the fact that no matter who you run into, they've been going there since they were a kid with their granddad or their uncle or their dad, and it's such a tradition. I mean, I think you might disagree probably, but in a lot of cases, I think the racing is almost secondary to the trip. It's like a tradition that they've been doing. I've never been anywhere where people make such an annual event of going.
It's a pilgrimage. It's a soldier.
It really is.
Of a word you want to use. 100%. And I don't take offense to the race. The racing is the best racing in the country.
It is, and I'm not taking anything away from it.
Yeah, and I have no affiliate.
There's like something else going on at the same time. The picnicking, the everybody getting together. It's like families come together like a family reunion. Guys that went to college together, guys that grew up together. And in all different walks of life. That's the other thing that really hit me. You know, a guy could be a president of a bank sitting next to a mailman, sitting next to a guy that works in a factory. And they grew up together going to Saratoga.
Yeah, it's a different kind of place. It's really a different. And listen, I am not an over the moon Saratoga guy, but it is certainly, you know,
but
having
spent. You can't help but like it. I mean, you can't help but kind of be amazed with it. And the other thing that's cool is, like, you know, which both you and I share, is the food. You know, between the restaurants in town, the food at the track, it's really. And then, quite frankly, walking around, watching people cook and do things on their own, that's, you know, you could do a Food Network show on that picnic area. I mean, I see
the
some guys.
Area, they have done such a good job, and I have no affiliation with NYRA anymore, the fact that I have some really good
I don't either.
Work there. They've done a really good job at selecting and culling through the best food truck little camp in the backyard. Yeah, everything. They do a great job. There are a lot of local restaurants that do take part in the food trucks. So, but yeah, they do. And there's really everything from hot dogs to poutine to lobster rolls. It's like whatever you want.
You know what's funny? The lobster roll is my first stop when I get there.
I go to the mac and cheese, the pulled pork or the brisket mac and cheese is my go-to.
Yeah, but see, that's because you can get a lobster roll really good anytime, but being
true
from, like, the, you know, middle part of the country, you know, between Michigan and Florida, there's no good lobster rolls. You know, so it's like, you know, when you get out there, it's like the lobster roll, that little shack there at Saratoga is one of the best. I don't know. I shouldn't say that. You know how it is. Sometimes I think the atmosphere makes what you're having even better. And it's such, I mean, you know, I started going out there when my kids were little. And, you know, I've been going out there ever since. And my kids and I have made annual trips out of it. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those fun places that I love hearing the stories. That's, I think that excites me. And you're absolutely correct. It's some of the best racing in the country. Some of the biggest name horses. You'll see things there you won't see anywhere else. And as amazing as that is, it's still kind of captivating watching the crowd and listening to people's stories.
And you're also in one of the most American history rich areas of the country.
No question.
So many, the Battle of Saratoga was a turning point in the Revolutionary War. Lake George, which is 25 miles north of Saratoga, a very popular tourist destination. There were battles in the Revolutionary War fought on Lake George. Fort Ticonderoga is less than 2 hours away. I went there when I was a kid with a bloodstock agent, the late Bob Fox. My sister and I went with Bob. And there's just so much other stuff to do.
There is. From Washington in on the porch, which is another favorite thing of mine to do, because it seems like a lot of the old retired jockeys and trainers kind of show up there. It's like a tradition. They sit on the porch at night, have a drink, and swap stories. And it is from that to the restaurants downtown. And I'll tell you another one that my kids and I stumbled on. You talk about the history. Going to some of the antique shops, and I'm not an antique guy. I'm not one of these people that goes antiquing, but walking through some of those shops up in that area in like Baldick Springs and that, it's like going through a museum. I mean, you see things that are like you've never seen anywhere else, and like all these old programs from horse racing and pictures from the track and pictures from farms, and it's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful area. You know, and like you said earlier, it's a destination. Nobody's making that trip to Aqueduct or the Meadowlands or, you know, it's unfortunate.
Not even the stuff doesn't have stuff like that.
You know what's funny? When I was with the radio station where you and I met, I went to quite a few smaller tracks and did broadcasts from there. And it seems to be, and the biggest problem in New York City with Aqueduct, which is going to be closing in a couple of months, and the new Belmont Park, is you're fighting for the entertainment dollar. You're fighting for the dining dollar. You're fighting for the entertainment dollar. Like, when you go to Saratoga, you have all of the best things about the best racing in the world combined with that small town. Now, it's not that small of a town anymore, but that small town feel. So, for example, the Penn Mile is run at Penn National Racecourse in Grantville, Pennsylvania every year. Going to Penn National, I think I went 5 years in a row to cover the Penn Mile from 15 to 19. And it's 10, 12 miles north of Hershey, Pennsylvania, which is, of course, the sweetest place on earth. And, you know, there'd be 7,000 people there on Penn Mile night. 8,000 people that the line to meet us at radio, take pictures with folks, like, was, you know, 50 yards long.
Yeah, I remember that. And kind of like Carlton Classic was kind of like that.
Yeah.
People come from all over just for that race.
Yep, and Eric Zimney does a great job with Charlestown and Penn National. But I remember when I first started really doing a lot of, my first real major gig at NYRA was co-hosting Talking Horses with my man Andy Serling. And I wasn't needed in Saratoga full-time until 2018. And then in 2018, I did probably 75 or 80% of the Talking Horses with Andy. And then all of them going forward until I left before the meet started in 2023. You would get that. So now I have these years of experience with the radio station under my belt, and I know what it was like, you know what I mean? But now you get to Saratoga, and it's the same thing, but there's 35,000 there on a Saturday as opposed to 8,000. It's really like, And, I'm
and
a
it's
big
every
ham.
Day.
And it's every, I'm a big ham. I love attention. One of my favorite parts of the job is meeting people and talking to new people. Like, it was a trip for me. And it's so much
people,
fun.
If you go to the refrigerator at night and the light hits you, you'll talk for 10 minutes.
No kidding. You're not kidding. I've been craving some attention. It's funny. I'm trying to get my old YouTube show rolling. Had some problem with management, but I kind of ironed all that out. Got some new money, new folks. The Big Time with the Big A will be back soon. And I'm actually launching a new one. We're going to record next week. It's called That's Life. And I found this gal, Tara, on Instagram. I caught a bug here right around Thanksgiving, and I was just spending a lot of time just trying to recuperate, and I was poking around the internet a lot and found her on Instagram. She's got a real positive message, and the name of the podcast is going to be That's Life, and we are basically just going to talk about life because I don't think there's enough of that. So I'm going to branch out a little bit and do some different things, but she's from your neck of the woods. She's a Michigan gal. So, just kind of branching out and doing some different things. And I was joking with her as we're getting ready to film the pilot next week. She's like, you're ready. I was like, are you ready? I felt like in Rudy. Remember in Rudy when he dresses for the final game and he says, I've been waiting for this my whole life? Well, I've been waiting for this my whole life, but it's been about 6 months. So I need to so I'm like Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid was never able to go to any small towns because there wasn't enough attention for him. He needed to go shoot a saloon up or something. So I'm finally going to have
my daughter, which you know how quick-witted she is, made a comment one time because I was listening. I have to have noise at night, like the fan or the rain thing.
Me too.
Yeah. You know what she said? She goes, it kind of sounds like applause. She goes, I think you need like applause all night long.
Yeah. Or booze. I mean, I get plenty of booze as well. Don't get me wrong. I work in a business where if you're right 20% of the time, they put you in the Hall of Fame eventually. So
my dad always said even a broken clock's right twice a day.
Yeah, I mean, I could test that theory in some of my slumps. We've had some of those slumps, but yes. I'm looking forward to getting back in front of the camera, looking forward to getting to my man, to Floored Media. I got a great little studio here. My friend Jay Belsky does a great job. It's 20 minutes from the house.
So you guys are going to record right there in New York. She's going to come out there.
She's coming in for a few days. We're going to get some stuff done. And like us, she is a big-time foodie. So as you know, listen, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum. Food's very important to us. We're Italian. She's not Italian. But food is very important to her as well.
Well, I think that's a Detroit thing. I really do. Detroit is a restaurant town, if there ever was one. Kind of like New York.
Yeah, and where the studio is located is a little town in Long Island called Rockville Center. We could sit here for five. I know we stay about an hour on Hollywood and Horsepower. We literally could sit here for 5 hours and talk about how many amazing places there are in Rockville Center. And she said to me, like, you know, we talked about after shooting, we're going to go grab lunch or something. And I think we're filming on Monday. And a lot of places do close on Monday because they have the busy weekend and stuff. So, but that's the only town where, like, I could go through six places that are closed on Monday and still have eight places to go for lunch or dinner and be almost as happy with some of the places that are closed. It's important, especially, like, I don't have to tell you, and I know your show, my show's a little bit more, I have a lot of guests in the studio. When I'm doing the Big Time with the Big A, you know, part of the reason it's been a little quiet, besides the difficulty with the old management and the old producers, is the fact that there aren't a lot of horsemen and women here right now. Everybody's in Florida and Louisiana and going to Kentucky.
And Grand so King.
The show gets a little quiet. The show and the game and the business and the racing gets a little quiet in the winter. So, you know, it's a little more difficult to do a show like that. With that said, when you have people in the studio, when your guests are coming to the studio, you'd like to have some options around you. And let me tell you, I have the greatest cafe of all time. It's called Cafe on Park. It's on Park Avenue in Rockville Center. They're open from 11 to 10 every day except Monday. And you literally can go in there, and you can. And I've tried everything. You can have anything from an omelet for breakfast to penne alla vodka and chicken for dinner. And there's everything in between. There's in between. There's deli sandwiches. There's Italian heroes. There's hot food. There's cold food. They make the best gelato. It's more of an ice cream. They call it gelato. I feel like it's more of an ice cream texture. It's the best ice cream slash gelato I have ever eaten in my entire life. The gal, Lara, that runs the place, her dad had a place that was famous called International Cafe in Rockville Center for a million years. He retired. She opened a few years later. She moved locations, a little bit smaller place. Mark, when you come in, we're going to see Lara and the gang at Cafe on Park. And I got a pizza place called Camilla's, which is next to the greatest bakery of all time, Front Street Bakery on Front Street in Rockville Center, right by the train station. Because I feel like it's important not only for me, but for my guests to get a full experience. If they're going to take time out of their day to come down, and you're dealing with trainers and owners and jockeys that their day starts at 5 o'clock, and if they have horses in the last race, it might not end until 7 o'clock. And now I'm asking them to trek into Rockville Center to come spend another hour with me. They're not getting to bed till 9 o'clock. That alarm's going to ring at 4 the next morning. The least I can do is bring some food in, take them for something to eat. So it was important to me to be in an area with a great producer like Jay, a great director, I should say, like Jay, in a studio that has a ton of great food and bars and grills and you name it. You get a slice of pizza at 4 in the morning. Like, it's a wonderful area to be in, and that's where that's the home studio for now.
That's awesome. There's a place there. I'm almost positive it's the same little town. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Do you remember a place called Frank's Steak and Seafood? It's an old-time Italian steakhouse, white tablecloth, velvet walls, the whole bit.
I don't remember that.
It was off the main drag, kind of like on a side street, and it was not far from there's a Hilton Garden in there that Keith and I stayed at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not. It might be a different place now, but I know the Hilton Garden Inn for sure, yeah. It's a great area.
And there was like an old time. There's a million great places, but it is funny that like the places stick in your mind. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, there's places out there that, King and Birdo's and the really famous places, but there's also places that, like pizza down by Union Station, that's all the building says is pizza. And they have the best slice in that area, in that part of town.
Yeah. It's a great area for the Long Island. It's funny, Dave Portnoy, El Presidente, he's not a big fan of Long Island pizza. I got a few spots. I think his go-to is King Umberto Pizza, which is, I agree with. But I got a few spots, and namely the place by the studio. I've had a dozen people come through that studio now, part of the staff, guests of the guests, what have you, and everybody loves the pizza at Camilla's, so they do a really good job. And again,
if anybody disagreed with King Umberto's, I'd probably be looking for him with a sock full of quarters.
Exactly.
That place is the best. I mean, I just love that place. The food's amazing. The staff's amazing. The atmosphere, everything about it.
Yep. Second to none. They do a great job.
It's like you have those places around that are just like, just they just make you feel good. It's like, the Palm Miami. I mean, I don't care. I know I mention it all the time, but it's like I can't say it enough how much. I've never had a bad meal there. They'll make anything you want. That was another New York restaurant. Started out in New York. I think Miami was number 3. They had Palm and then Palm 2 straight across the street.
Well, that's the funny part of it. Right, we've talked about a handful of places right now, and we're not even in the five boroughs.
No,
we've been something about Long Island stuff. And you know, it's funny. Like I said, I caught something in November. I've had a really weird run of health luck. Just like I had a stomach bug a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's been a rough run. So I've been spending a lot of time just trying to get better and feeling better, and just but spending it at home. And just, you know, the internet's a wonderful thing. Social media is a wonderful thing when you're bored and got nothing to do but just kind of try to get better and convalesce. I find myself fighting with a lot of people over, and as a lifelong same house my entire life, I turned 49 yesterday. I've been in the same house my whole life in Queens, in Howard Beach, Queens. I get very, very, very territorial about my city. You know, it's almost like in A Few Good Men, units, core, God, country. You know, for me, it's like Queens, Howard Beach, New York City. In that order, like, I'm going to defend my home turf. And I will include Long Island in there a little bit. Long Island and Yonkers, Lower Westchester County, White Plains, Yonkers, they're kind of like cousins. I will defend that till I die. And there's just so many misnomers right now. You know, like I'll see people talk about how they're coming into New York for the first time. Besides a chopped cheese, what do I need to eat?
No cheese.
Mark, I'm 49 years and one day old. And I can tell you, as a lifelong New Yorker, a chopped cheese has never touched my lips. It is really just a Harlem thing.
You know how many times I've been out there and how much I go to the ends of the earth to find a hole in the wall that has a good sandwich. I've never had one.
Yeah, it's when you come to New York, there are a few rules. For those of you out there traveling, we're almost at summer, right? We got through this winter, and it was a miserable winter. We're almost to summer. I'm sure a lot of you listening are going to come to New York. Here are some big A food rules.
This is where you want paper and pencil, folks, I'm telling you.
If I catch any of you in Olive Garden, Applebee's, Chili's, if I catch a Subway, Papa John's, if I catch any of you in there, we are going to have words. What does Leonardo DiCaprio's character in the Titanic say? I'm going to write a strongly worded letter to the company. We're going to have a strongly worded conversation being in New York.
People last night, we had this exact conversation. We said it's an absolute rule that when you're traveling, you never go to a chain. You go to local restaurants.
I remember being in Boston with an ex-girlfriend. She's like four X's back at this. She's like four X's back at this point. And we were in Boston. This is like 2009. We were in like a suburb of Boston. And she was like, oh, let's go get Five Guys. What? We're traveling. We're not home at the... We're not in Roosevelt Field Mall Christmas shopping. We need to eat something really quick, go to the food court and grab a burger from Johnny Rockets or Five Guys. We're in Boston, Massachusetts.
Where you can throw a rock some candy.
We're going to go find some seafood. We're going to do something. Like, so you're coming here and you're going to... The Olive Garden in Times Square is the most profitable Olive Garden in the world. There's a
it
problem.
It is crazy
There's
to me that
problem
people
with
do that.
That.
You know, There's it is crazy. This will give you an example of a little insight into how some people travel. I used to have a guy that worked for me. I don't know if you ever met him or not, but he had the personality of a Labrador Retriever, just smiling and wagging his tail. One time, him and I are in Scottsdale, Arizona, on a trip, and happenstance, we're obviously staying at the same hotel. We walk in to the elevator at the same time, and he's carrying a little Victoria's Secrets bag. I look at him, and I'm going, okay, I'll bite. What's in the bag? He goes, well, every place that we go, I go to Victoria's Secrets and get my girl a little pair of underwear. And I look at him and I go, Rick, you do realize they're the same in every city.
Wow. And a guy I worked with was a Hard Rock pin collector. That's a different story.
That at least has the city on it.
Correct. Correct. So if you're coming to New York, here's what you must have. In order. Number three, a dirty water hot dog. You have to go to somebody on the street, a street vendor. The hot dog cannot be inside of a bricks and mortar building. It has to come out of a cart with an umbrella on top, preferably a blue and yellow one that says Sabrettes, even though the chances that they're Sabrettes hot dogs are about 1 in 75. You need a dirty water dog. However you want to have it, you can have it. I'm not one of these people. One of my best friends, Phil, who you've met, well, does not. If you're at his house, he does not allow ketchup on hot dogs. He will ask to leave. I don't care how you prepare it. You need to have a dirty water dog. That's number three. Number two, and this is like two and 2B. You have to have a bacon, egg, and cheese with salt, pepper ketchup. Do not tell them you would like bacon with eggs and some cheese, and can you please add salt, pepper, and ketchup? The deli guy will look at you, and he will want to crucify you. You tell him you want a BEC with SPK. That's it. He'll know what you're talking about. If you can get it on a bagel, that is preferred. Again, it's American cheese. You don't change the cheese. You can have your bacon however you want it. I prefer my bacon well done. You can have your egg however you want it. They're going to give you a fried egg if you don't preface.
Yeah, it's the Carl Reiner bacon. Like he says, when you think it's too done, leave it another couple of minutes and you're there.
Correct. That's me. Right, I prefer scrambled eggs and however you want it, but BC, SPK. And if you don't want the salt, pepper, ketchup, that's fine. You can leave it off. But if you do, you say BEC, SPK. That's it. If you just say BEC, they're going to ask you about the SPK. You can just tell them NO. That's it. No problem. Go find yourself a good bagel. If you're in Queens, go to All American Bagel Barista. That's about a mile from me. Best bagels on the planet. If you're in Northern Queens, you can go to Utopia Bagel. There's a bunch of very good spots in Brooklyn. I'm not really a Manhattan bagel guy. And you really have no reason to go to the Bronx or Staten Island. So if you're there, I mean, I would stay out of Manhattan, too. I would go to Brooklyn and Queens. Everything you need to do is in Brooklyn and Queens. We produce the best bagels, the best pizza, and the best wrappers. And it's not even close. So the bagel with the bacon, egg, and cheese, if you're going to do them separately, you do them separately, but you got to have a bagel here and you got to have a bacon, egg, and cheese here. And then, of course, the number one is you got to have a slice of pizza. You got to have a slice of pizza. I prefer a slice shop. You can hear Dave Portnoy tell you to go to John's of Bleecker. John's of Bleecker is going to charge you $40 for a pie that's half the size of a regular pie, and you're going to wait for 3 hours. Go to a slice shop. And there are a million good slice shops. Stay away.
There is
stay away from the three biggest hype jobs are Amore Pizza in Whitestone, Queens, New Park Pizza in Howard Beach, Queens, and Alan B. Spumoni Garden in Gravesend, Brooklyn. Stay away from these pizzas. If you can get to Bensonhurst / Gravesend, Brooklyn, you go to Da Vinci's and you get yourself one regular slice, and one Sicilian slice. And when you're done eating two of them, you're probably going to want three more Sicilian slices. It's the best Sicilian pizza on the planet. The regular is great. The Sicilian is, it's on a different level. But there is a great pizza all over the city. Avoid those three hype jobs. Those are the three places I would not go. Amore, New Park, L&B. Stay away.
What about our Instagram buddy Pepino's over in Bensonhurst? You ever go there?
I've never been over there. So I'm not with her right now, but I never call on my ex because she's my person. Nicole took me on Gravesend girl, whole life. She's like me. She's lived within like 3 miles of where she was born in Brooklyn. She took me on a bunch of food tours in Brooklyn. But again, you're coming into like South Brooklyn, right? This isn't Williamsburg. And listen, if you go to Williamsburg, you're going to get robbed. It's just the prices they charge you for things. There's a place there, Fedorov's, that tells you it's the best cheesesteak in the city. It's $27. I can make a better cheesesteak blindfolded in my kitchen. It's horrifying. If you're coming to Brooklyn, you want to go to Bay Ridge, Bensonhurst, Gravesend, Sheepshead Bay. That's where you want to go. You want to ride the Bell Parkway part of Brooklyn. You don't want the other parts of Brooklyn. Trust me.
My hot spots are always Howard Beach. So it's funny. You know, I don't think you have to be from there. I think you have to be Italian. So if you're Italian, Howard Beach to me is like the motherland here outside of Italy. And I don't know
I'm telling you, I'd rather eat in Bensonhurst and Gravesend than eat in Howard Beach.
I've always had Bensonhurst has great places, and I've been to a lot of. I love Bensonhurst. That is a great place. But there is, you know, I think it's the history with Howard Beach. You know, between Gotti and Tano and everybody, it's just like the center. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and listen, there's a good flag, you know. Bruno's is good here in Howard Beach. I get my pizza and good pizzeria food at Divino's. La Villa is in Lindenwood, which is right next to Howard Beach. They have unbelievable food. And you know how good Phyllis, my mom's opinion is. She loves their food. We take out from there at least once a month. I have good places by me. But like there's a place in Gravesend. It's called Joe's of Avenue U. It is.
I've heard of that. Yeah,
it is legitimate Sicilian cooking. They make the great baseball of all time. They make the baked clams. They make the chicken parm. They make the name of it is escape me now. They make the Italian spleen sandwiches with the chickpeas and the ricotta. It is as authentic. I remember the first time she took me there, I was just like, I'm in heaven. The rice ball is the size of a bowling ball. And it was just one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten. There's a place in Midwood called Michael's of Avenue R. The Michael's jarred sauce that you buy around the country, that's from Michael's of Avenue R. Great bakery. They own the bakery across the street of the same name as well. Unbelievable place. I'm spoiled. I can literally take the Belt Parkway. I live right off the Belt Parkway.
New York.
I'm so spoiled. I live off of 17S on the Belt Parkway. From 17S on the Belt Parkway, heading southwest down past Flatbush Avenue and Gravesend and Sheepshead Bay and Bensonhurst and into Bay Ridge. In 15 to 20 minutes, 12 to 14 miles between my house and the Verrazano Bridge, which takes you into Staten Island, I have so much pizza within a mile off the parkway that if I went to these places, I could go to a different place once a month and have real good pizza, roast beef sandwiches at Roland Roaster or Brennan and Carr. John's Deli in Gravesend makes a mozzarella, roast beef, onion, and oil can gravy. It's the oil is black, but it is the most unbelievable gravy you will ever have on a sandwich in your life. Right? Like,
is that
the places people need to go to?
That they keep reworking the same pot, and they claim it's like 50 years old or something.
Yep. And you see a lot of people will come to New York now and see these. I don't want to use a bad word. If you got to bleep me, bleep me. They see these jerk-offs on social media that want to denigrate and stereotype Italians, right? And I'll call the places out by name. This DeFonti's in Red Hook. Number one, Red Hook, you might as well book a trip to Acapulco. It takes you 4 hours to get to Red Hook, Brooklyn. Crispy Pizza in Bay Ridge. These guys with the spash and this and that and the motherland and just like taking advantage of the heritage and the culture. Like, I can't take that. Like, you don't catch that in any Gravesend place or Bensonhurst place. You don't catch that in Sheepshead Bay. You don't catch that really in Howard Beach. We take our culture seriously, right? As American Italians, we take it seriously. I won't patronize these businesses that make fun of or make light of our heritage.
I agree.
It's not for me. So these places I'm giving you are legit.
You let the food speak for you. You know the one, have you been, so you know another one we have to do, where we really should tell the story again because some of the people probably have listened to it, but you know they completely revamped Anthony's 84 in Fort Lauderdale.
I heard.
But it's still just as good. Unfortunately, we lost Vincenzo. So you remember the maitre d' with the little gray and black beard?
I heard a lot changed down there. Yeah, I haven't been down to Florida since Acacia's wedding.
Gotta go back again. Because there's another place I got to take you called Mortarano's Cafe.
I've been to Steve Mortarano's place.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
I've been to the one in Harris. Listen, as a 100% Queens Italian mama's boy who still lives with his mother, we are taught at a very young age that you do not eat meatballs outside of a home. And what I mean by that is you don't eat meatballs out. You never order a meatball. There was a time until, this sounds ridiculous, I can tell you that until my ex, I was working at one of the casinos in 2013, and my on-again, off-again girlfriend, we were not together at this time, one of her bosses, she was an accountant, one of her bosses was in Mohegan Sun, where I was, and I got along good with the guy. Him and his wife invited me to dinner at a place called Balo. It's not there anymore. And they were like, dinner's on us. And I was like, no. And they're fighting. He's like, but there's one thing. The only way I'm picking up the tab, she said, Christine told me you don't eat meatballs in a restaurant. I was like, I don't. Now, this is 2013, Mark. I'm 36 years old at the time. It was the first time I ever ate a meatball outside of my mom and two of my best friends' mothers, Steve Davis's mother, Serena, Frank Licurdo's mother, Carol. The only three, and my nanas and my grandmas, but that's different. They were all made in my house, considered. So I had only had four or five meatballs, legit, in my entire life. And I tried this meatball, and it was out of this world. You made me try the meatball at Anthony's Runway 84, and it was fantastic. And one of my best friends and I went to Harris in Atlantic City, and we won a ton of money one day. And he's like, come on, let's go crazy at Mortarano's. And we went into Mortarano's, and we had like a $550 dinner, and everything was out of this world. And he was like, I know we don't do this, but we got to try the meatball. Everybody says the meatball's out of this world. And it's the size of a cannonball.
Yeah.
And it's got the sweet ragout on the side. And it is, in my opinion, outside of home-cooked meatballs, that Mortarano's meatball is the best meatball I've ever eaten in a restaurant.
And, you know, I'll say this, because we need to go to Fort Lauderdale. That's usually where Steve's at. Like, unless, so you know he's in the Gravesend series. He's in that.
I do know, yeah. I don't watch that show, because, again, I think that show I think they kind of denigrate the Italians.
But when my point
to use
was,
his word, he's a complete fugazi. They're fugazis over there. He's not Italian, that guy.
Oh, Steve? No, he's a good guy. He's Italian.
No, Steve is. No, the guy from the series, DeMeo.
Oh,
that guy's
not
Italian.
Yeah. No, Steve, so one thing is cool about Lauderdale, 9 times out of 10 you go in there, Steve's cooking. He's actually in the kitchen himself. You can see him. It's an open kitchen. So Buck and I went when Buck was in Florida, and we ordered the cheesesteak, the meatball, the sausage and peppers, and then the pasta. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was out of this world. The cheesesteak is the best cheesesteak I've ever had. And I wasn't going to get it. It was one of the other guys who told me, he's like, you got to try the cheesesteak. And I was kind of skeptical because I'm thinking, a cheesesteak, you know, do I want to waste my, you know, I'd rather save space for something like, you know, chicken parm. And he's like, no, no, try it. It was out of this world.
Maple Glens, Pennsylvania, Verona Pizza and Cheesesteaks. One of my best friends, Tom Amenta Jr., brought it up to me about 4 months ago. Brought it up to me. 2-hour and 15-minute car ride. It stayed warm. I didn't need to heat it up. It stayed warm.
Wow.
It is by far the best cheesesteak I ever ate in my life.
That's crazy.
Verona's in Maple Glens, Pennsylvania. Out of this world. But yeah, just so much good stuff around here. And
the one, you know, another place, when you talk about pizza and you want to talk about an unlikely candidate, Aventura, Florida, literally a mile south of Gulfstream, there is a little kosher deli. Yep, it's kosher. Tiny little place called Milano's. They have the best cheese pizza I think I've ever had anywhere.
And my ears are bleeding right now. I can't be
outside the city.
Florida, outside the city. Yeah, this is. I never found a good slice of pizza outside of in Florida.
No. It was good. It was good.
I never had one. I
we have to go there.
The water. Again, people listen. When the New York guys tell you it's the water, people automatically assume they're telling a lie because they want you to think they got the edge of the water. It's the water. It's the water.
100% I believe that.
But a lot of people don't.
I believe that. That's the same reason that the candy and bourbon are in Lexington, the water.
Correct. There's a reason when you go to, I believe it's Schlesinger's in Ocean City, New Jersey. I believe that's the name of the place. Their saltwater taffy and their fudge. They were an answer on Jeopardy. That's how good this stuff is. And I went 13 years in a row to Ocean City for at least 4 days every summer for 13 years straight. I'm telling you, if you try to make this fudge and this saltwater taffy with water from Jamaica Bay, which is also salt, it's just not happening. It's not happening. It's not the same. So the people that say it's not the water are the people that aren't in New York. And, of course, they're going to say it's not the water because they have no other reason that their pizza's mushed.
I agree with you 1,000% because I've seen it firsthand. And it is one of those things, too, where, you know, no matter how hard you try, you can't reproduce it. I mean, even the guys that are really good, it's just like, they're just good, but it's not the same.
Yep.
And it's just like what you say. I mean, you're never going to get there because you don't have the water. But, no, I mean, there's so many things like that. I mean, I just love that area. I mean, I'm not just saying that because of you. I mean, every time, you know what's funny? There's few places, and you'll be able to relate to this. You know, there's a few places you go in your travels that you actually kind of feel like you're at home. You don't feel like you're on the road or you don't feel like you're out of town. And I've always felt like that in New York. It's like from the second I get there until I leave, you know, I may not blend in. I may not know what I'm doing, but I feel comfortable. You know, I just feel like I belong there. And it's the same thing in like Miami. When I'm in Miami, there's something about that energy that I just love it.
And not to sound pompous, I never feel like I'm home anywhere except home.
Nowhere else.
I feel like a fish out of water. I always do. I'll get comfortable in places like, you know, I've spent a lot of time working at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut, and I love being there, and it's a fun place to be, and they treat me great. I love being down in Atlantic City in the Hard Rock and the Borgata for the same reasons. But win, lose, draw, indifferent. When I get over to Verrazano Bridge and I get into Brooklyn, even though I'm from Queens, we're right on the border. When I get into Brooklyn, I'm like, Okay. Everything's good. And you, as you know, I've never flown. So I've made 4 trips to Florida and drive. And I'm telling you, there are times where I get over that bridge and I am absolutely, positively exhausted. And as soon as I get into Queens, Brooklyn, I'm okay. As soon as I get there. So it's really, you know, you got to go 1,270 miles to feel like you're home.
That's exactly how I feel like in Miami. I can be absolutely exhausted. And when I start down Federal or A1A, it's like I just feel like I'm home. And it doesn't matter. It's like I get, you know, just ready to go. But I also feel like that there. Like I love, you know what I love about New York is everybody's like, you know, when you hear people talk bad about New York or L.A. or Miami, which never bothers me because I always tell them, you know, do us a favor and stay home because we got plenty of people on 95 already. But the thing that kills me is, to me, it doesn't feel like a big city. It feels like a bunch of small towns all pushed together. So it's like you have like this neighborhood, this community, and, you know, it's like that's something that really I think is cool about New York is how much there's like, you know, you can walk the sidewalks and, you know, it doesn't matter if you're at Bensonhurst or Howard Beach or, you know, little shops, restaurants, and, you know, it's just family owned still. I love that.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. I was working just outside Rochester, calling the races upstate for a year and change. And I don't think I told you this, I remember being up there one day. It was like right after Columbus Day weekend, because I had missed a few weeks being sick, and then I missed another week with kidney stones, and then I called like the last 11 weeks in a row and got up there. It might have been right after Columbus Day. And everybody was talking about, it was before Columbus Day, actually. Everybody was talking about what they were going to do for the weekend. And the choice was going to the tractor pull or the lumberjack finals. And I was just like, man, I gotta get the hell out of here. I need somebody to honk their horn at me. I need to be cursed out. I need to cut somebody off. Like, I got to get out of here. I got to go get a slice of pizza. And, you know, I got to need a bagel and a slice of pizza. I need to get cursed out a little bit. And I need to get the hell out of this place. It's funny, like, right around that time when I went up there, I thought I was going to be there for a while. I'm not even there anymore. I thought I was going to be there for a while. And I was starting to look around and, like, you know, maybe I can do this up here. Maybe I can come up here. And, you know, they were talking about offering me a year-round position, not just to call the races, but to do some other stuff. And I had a couple of offers to stay and make some real money. And, you know, as you would imagine, you know, there were some homes. There's a town up there where my hotel was named Victor, New York. I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express in Victor, New York. And beautiful town, much like Garden City here on Long Island. And Garden City is just a very, very exclusive town.
Yeah, nice area.
And the houses were like $450 as opposed to like $2 million in Garden City. And I was just like, I mean, this might be the place to be. And I came home, and Mom and I were going to a Mets game that night. It was a Thursday night. They were playing the Phillies on that magical 2024 season. And I had 3 doctors to go to. I was following up on some kidney stuff. And the 3 doctors happened to be at like the 3 points of Queens. So I was like up north, like northeast in over by Francis Lewis Boulevard. And then I had to run across town to Bayside. And then I had to go pick something up for Mom, like in West Queens. And then I came home to get her and we shot up to like northern Queens and went to a restaurant called Bellagio for dinner before going to the Mets game. And the Mets were in this pennant race trying to make the wild card or win the division. And I got my Queens wrap lasting all day. And I'm just like, I'm in my Mets hoodie and my Mets hat. I'm like, where am I going? I ain't going anywhere. Where am I going? Maybe I go to Brooklyn. Maybe I go to Long Island. I was like, I can't leave. I mean, like, I got to be within 25 minutes of a slice of pizza and a bagel. I can't go anywhere.
No. And it is funny because I would feel the same way. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I couldn't imagine you being that far away from the stadium.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. It's funny. There was an hour rain delay today when we picked the time to record today. I kind of did it around a Mets game, and I'm sitting here gritting my teeth because they lost an extra innings, and it's another game that they should have won. And as you know, horse racing and baseball, and the truth, and if I'm being completely honest, I think when you and I talked about this off air a couple of weeks ago that I was doing this new podcast, That's Life with Tara and Anthony coming soon, I think it surprised you a little bit. But, you know, the racing game, I'm a little sour right now. Some things have happened in the last few years.
Show is. I mean, this is like, you know, and it isn't, I mean, some of it's, you know, like, you know, I look at it like, you know, I'm not the guy. You know, you could talk for 3 hours about racing and it'll make sense and people will get something out of it. You know, for me, it's, you know, I mean, that's not going to catch anybody's attention. I don't know anything. You forgot more than I do. I mean, it's kind of like Ray Iota making spaghetti. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's not exactly a draw, you know. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, I just don't see it. So but my show has become more and more just like what we're doing, you know, human interest, you know, travel, tourism, restaurants, and places to go. And yeah. I think that people really enjoy it. I get a lot of positive feedback. So, no, I can see it. It makes complete sense to me because I think there's so many talking heads in sports out there that, you know, and you definitely know it. So that is different. But, you know, most people, they really don't. It's just some guy's opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, there's a lot of things. Like, you know, the big news last week was FanDuel TV shutting down. Ceasing operation by the end of 2027, all of the talent. And listen, a lot of the talent sucks on that network. A lot of the talent on that network.
I don't think they had the A-list for sure.
You know, I'm never a big fan of pushing tickets down people's throats and telling them what to bet. But there are some people there that absolutely love the game. I'm going to mention one by name. It's my buddy Mike Joyce, fellow cigar smoker.
Oh, yeah. Nope. He's a really nice guy. I've met him before.
Does a ton of work with the Permanently Disabled Jockey Fund. Donates a lot of time and money. Mike is salt of the earth. Good guy. Man's man. Good to his family. Likes to smoke cigars. Big Cubs fan. Like, guy you can, you know, I remember one, not to get either of us in trouble, but one of the places I smoke around here is the Smoke and Shields. We're a not-for-profit for active member military and first responders, and then there are associate members like myself. My buddy John Bellico started it like 11, 12 years ago, and I'm an associate member through John. Mike and I stayed in there the night before the Belmont until 2:30 in the morning. I dropped him at the hotel. We slept 5 hours. We went back to work, and the next day we were fresh as a daisy and knocked it out of the park like we do. But, you know, a guy like Mike, who's given his whole life to the business because of sports betting and everything else, is going to now, you know, have to go find a gig. And if the only channel dedicated to horse racing is going to cease to exist in 2027 and everything's going to go to the ADW, the Advanced Deposit Wagering platform that they run, we got some trouble. And I don't think we have the right people in place in the main racetracks and the main ADWs to fix the problems, because they've started too much of the business. Too much of a business, not as much sport. So, you know, I'm looking to try to do something a little different. You obviously doing a great job with this program, doing something a little bit different. And hopefully That's Life with Tara and Anthony works out too.
And it isn't, you know, I love the sport. I love horse racing. I like the people that are in it. And I guess I'm looking at a little different approach. It's like, you know, I had this conversation with one of the racetracks, and one of the comments I made to them was, rather than trying to convince people to get excited about racing, why don't you promote it as a destination for part of a trip? So, you know, people like travel. They like going, you know, so put together basically like a program package, whatever you want to call it, where they go to this hotel, there's this shopping, there's this cool restaurant, there's this cool cigar bar, there's this place that has really good bourbon, and then you go to the track for Saturday afternoon, and then you go here for dinner. I said, that's the kind of stuff people like. You know, if you can, you still get them to the track, but trying to convince that same guy to get on an airplane and go across the country just to go to that racetrack, it's probably not going to happen. He's looking for more. He wants other things. He doesn't want just one thing. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't the people that do. We all know, and just like us, you know, we will do that. But what I'm getting at is you're trying to attract new people to the sport. You've got to do it in a way that it's fun, and it's like it's part of something. And, you know, it's interesting to me. I saw this the other day, and you probably saw the same thing. Bar business, so alcohol sales at most of the racetracks are off by double digits. I'm not going to give a number because I'll have letters coming from everywhere telling me I'm wrong. But they're definitely off. Ironically, bar sales are up. And what's happening is all of the bars are creating these mocktails, these like flavored drinks, Italian ices, slushies, all different things. And what they're starting to find is that the younger kids aren't drinking as much. Health reasons, or they're into, you know, fitness and all that. So but here's what's interesting. They will spend money on food, like they'll go drop $400 on dinner, but they're just not really into the alcohol like they used to be. And it's just kind of interesting to me how the travel, the tourism, and everything is evolving. And I kind of feel like the sport isn't keeping up with that.
No, and it hasn't for years. But until the advent of being able to jump on your phone and bet, I mean, one of my closest friends, I spend every weekend with him. You know, he was one of the biggest horse owners, and I shouldn't say lower level, but claiming owners. Guy had 80 horses at once at one time. He's down to 10 horses, and we're more interested in watching the Red Zone on Sundays in the winter than watching Aqueduct and Gulfstream.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. And if that's us lifelong guys who, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in the game, he's invested millions of dollars. I'm not talking about a few hundred thousand. Millions of dollars into the game. Is more interested about the Chiefs versus the Eagles. We got problems. And nobody's trying to solve them because they're just still making the money.
In the new wagering? So I found this interesting. You know me, I kind of one of the few people that straddle multiple worlds. So a lot of the other things that I'm involved in, whether it's music, Formula One, NASCAR, you know, you're around different types of people, different fans. It's interesting to me how many people, when you get talking to them and they find out that you're close to horse racing, they're like, oh, yeah, I've been betting a little bit on that. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, what do you like doing? And they're like, now I kind of do these mixed deals. So they're doing these things where they're betting on a horse race and a football game and something else all like together. And it's, so they're really not like, they don't even know what they're betting on with the horse race. It's just part of this package bet. And it's interesting to me how you got people who are really never even, you know, they're like on the fringe of the sport. And it's like, it seems like if you could create something that would be kind of fun or more tourist-based to get them to take a step in, you know, they're right there. They're right on the edge. They're already kind of looking at it. If you made it fun, I think you could pull some of these people in.
My mother and father pushed me around Aqueduct in a stroller. When I was born, Angel Cordero and George Velasquez's Flowers beat my father's to the hospital room. I am a lifer. When COVID hit, I told the powers that be that I work for, have to take advantage of this right now. There are sports that are not going to be back for 3, 4, 5 months. You have to take advantage of it right now. And instead, Korean baseball, Do you know, Mark, in 2024, there was $1.2 billion bet on a sport in the United States of America. $1.2 billion bet on a specific sport in the United States of America. Can you tell me what it was?
No.
Ping pong.
What is it?
Ping pong.
Oh, brother. Well, at least
people want to bet, and they just didn't find a way to get and keep the customer. And the sports betting became legal right afterwards, and that was the end of it. That was
now,
it.
You could see this coming, and then with the advent, and I'm not even going to give these people the credit of mentioning their name, but with the advent of some of these governing bodies, these alphabet associations, you know, I just don't feel like they're just so consumed with creating these jobs in the club rather than growing the sport that nothing ever changes.
It's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. There was a horse the other day.
We're coming up on our hour, and I got to tell you where we're over, actually. But I got to tell you, though, I really appreciate you doing this, and I really got to hit you for if you were going to pick your absolute favorite go-to place, what's your go-to? I think I know, but I got to ask.
I'm going to King Umberto because I can get, I can start with a Bed and Bougie and a Grandma Slice. I can get the fried cappellini, which they have trademarked because it is the best fried cappellini in the world. I can get my shrimp monachina with the potato croquettes. If you go to King Umberto's, forget about eating pasta. You can eat pasta anywhere. Get the potato croquettes as your side dish. And you're already having pasta with the fried cappellini.
Or if you're like us, you get both.
Right, you can do that too. That's what we did when we went with Gracie. And then finally, the peanut butter mousse. That's what I'm doing. Get yourself a nice bottle of... You got yourself a nice bottle. I think it's called Fox Hill Wine. I like my buddies Frank and Laura, two of my best friends, hit me onto it a few years ago. I'm not a big wine guy, but that stuff was pretty good. And have yourself a night at King Umberto.
You know, another one that we have to try. Love King Umberto's.
And I forgot. I'd be remiss, Mark. I gotta get one more place in. If you're out in Wantagh, actually go to Wantagh. A little bit of a date place. A little bit of a societal night. Have a couple of drinks. Chibo Pasta Bar in Wantagh, Long Island. Fantastic. Great vibe. They're having, like, after-hours parties as well. Tell my man Anthony Brute at the Big A sent you. He's doing a great job out there. A lot of different pastas. A lot of unique ideas. He's doing a caviar martini that Long Island is flipping out for right now. Head out there.
That's so cool. So there's a place in Lexington we got to plug, Frank and Dino's. Have you been there yet?
No, I went to the old one in Florida.
Yeah, so it's Carlos Vacareza. He's a horse trainer. I guess his son's the trainer now. Carlos is just doing the restaurants, but what an amazing place. I mean, the atmosphere is a 11 out of 10. The food is off the charts. And again, 9 times out of 10, Carlos is in the kitchen cooking and floating around the restaurant. And it's just, the food is phenomenal. And it's just a fun place to go to. It's in an old bank. So it's like the atmosphere is kind of fun, too. You walk in, and it reminds you of, like, you know, the old bank lobbies that were, like, marble and everything?
Yeah, of course.
It's like that. And then you walk in. What would have been the lobby with the desks and stuff, and this is where the restaurant is. So it's just a neat place. It's one of those fun places. And then the other one there is Tony's Steak and Seafood. Our good friend Tony, another Paisan, he's a great guy. He's got 7 restaurants now that stretch from Cincinnati down through Lexington all the way to Bowling Green, Kentucky. So great, great guy, great food, great people. So I got to plug a few people. We've got GoGaffey promotional products. If you're looking for anything to promote whatever you're doing, GoGaffey is the place to go, GoGaffey.com. No Fallen Heroes is one of the charities that we support. They don't give us a dime. We do it just because we believe in what they do. The founder was Matt Wiz Buckley. Matt is the original Top Gun pilot, one of the guys that kind of, the original jester. And he has been such an advocate for helping these veterans when nobody else would. So, you know, No Fallen Heroes, if you get a chance, take a look at him. It's worth seeing. Earnhardt Outdoors, Kerry Earnhardt, Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s son. Kerry's got great outdoor products. He has great outdoor guides and things. And then we always plug Old Friends. So you have No Friends like Old Friends, and Old Friends Equine in Lexington, Georgetown, Kentucky, actually. You know, number one tourist destination, according to USA Today, in the state of Kentucky. Did you know that?
I did not.
So USA Today did, like, the must-sees in every state. Old Friends got that. Now, think about that. You have Churchill Downs, Kentucky Derby Museum, all those bourbon things, Keeneland, the horse park, and Old Friends gets number one. That's pretty amazing. They've been on CBS Sunday Morning, Today's Show. I mean, the list is endless. So, you know, and they really do an amazing job. I mean, the founder, Michael Blowen, was an entertainment writer for the Boston Globe. His wife, Diane White, was a columnist for the Boston Globe. She was syndicated. Her articles went all over the world. Just great people. And, you know, you talk about like what we talk about. There's nobody that has better stories than Michael Blowen. Going to dinner with him and listening to him talk about, like, the golden age of Hollywood is one of my favorite things to do. Because he was one of those guys that actually worked with and interviewed, like, Jimmy Stewart and Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball and, you know, I mean, actual sat with these people. He'd go to Sheldon Leonard's house for dinner.
Amazing. Yeah, Mike's a great guy. Great guy.
And he's just a terrific guy. So I can't thank you enough for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun. We got to do this more often.
Anytime, buddy. You let me know.
And, hey, the best of luck on your show. And, you know, once you get rolling, we'd love to have you back and talk about the show. Anything you want to promote, you let me know, and I'll plug anything I can.
You got it. Yeah, keep an eye out for That's Life with Tara and Anthony coming your way soon. And the Big Time with the Big A will be back shortly as well.
All right. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks,
I appreciate this more than you know. Once again, this has been Hollywood Horsepower with the Big A and Mark Otto. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you guys again next week.